of course. That's better.
Yep.
There we're there. I mean, whenever I go for my yearly check at the doctor's, why do they always send me to a practice nurse to actually take the blood? And what happens to them once they finish practicing? Do they then become nurse practitioners? I don't know. Or why, when I'm watching a boxing match, do they call it a ring, but it's square? And some of you may well be able to tell me this. Mike's a little bit older than me, so he might know. But what was best, the best thing before sliced bread? But it got me thinking about questions last week when Mike was talking about being rooted. And whenever I've heard about being rooted in Christ, the one thing that sends my mind back is actually the major oak down the road. And not that long ago, well, not that long ago in my lifetime, they had to start asking questions as to why the major oak wasn't doing as well as it had been. It started to die off, it started to not have quite so many acorns on, and the leaves were there. They found out that they needed to support some of the branches, and they've still supported some of the branches. But they also found out that, unlike some of us who actually played in and on the major oak as a youth, and climbed the major oak, all those people over all those years where they were walking along the ground by it was hardening the ground. And the rain and the food couldn't get into the roots. So they put a big fence around it. You're not allowed to get anywhere close to it anymore. You can't go and try and hide in it. Not that with my size I could actually do that now, I don't think. And it's there. Rooted and established, Mike was talking about last week. And that's important. It's so important for us. But what are we feeding those roots with? Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. I'm going to be reading from the NIV, and I'm going to be reading from verse 9. I think it's going to come up on the screen as well, although my version, my NIV might be slightly different to the words up on the screen. Verse 9, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Wow. Wow. You know, I'm surprised this morning, Mike, when you were asking about what's been happening in the week. Because God's word tells us that we'll do the things that Jesus is doing, and we'll do even greater things. So that's healing the blind and the leper. It's raising the dead. Yeah. It's preaching the good news of the kingdom. It's all those things. Ask anything in my name, Jesus tells us to. How good you're asking. Now I know for some people this morning that's a very difficult one. Because for some of us, we haven't had good experiences of asking, even in churches. I've been in and quite a number of churches, led a number of churches, and the number of times where Ruth and I have said, oh, could we have some help with the parent and toddler group? It'd be nice if you help. And my last church, they came up to us fairly early on and said, no, you don't ask for volunteers. You go and ask people to do it for you. Well, that was totally different to what had happened in the last year. So we went and asked people to do it. And they did. They came up for maybe 1 or 2 weeks, possibly 3, and then said, oh, you know, these youngsters aren't for us. It's not what we're supposed to be doing. So our experience sometimes of asking isn't particularly great. But Jesus says, ask. He tells us that if we believe in him, he is in us just as if the Father was in him. But he says, ask. Why have we got to ask? Yes, we have got to ask Christ into our lives. God loves you. I saw a wonderful thing during the week. It was talking about, you know, the God who made the heavens and the earth, who put each star into place, looked around and said, oh, hang on a minute. What that earth needs to actually finish it off is a Mike or a Jacqueline or a Derek, even if he does spell it the wrong way. God loves us. And we've got to, and he accepts. But, you know, one of my favourite films is Bruce Almighty. You seen Bruce Almighty? Yeah? He's given the task of being God for the day. And there's a wonderful scene where he's walking across the bay. And they're walking on water. And Bruce turns to Morgan Freeman, I think it is, that plays God and says, how can I get my girlfriend to love me? And God says, you can't. He said, but you give me all the powers of God for the day. How can I get her to love me? He said, you can't. He says, why not? He said, it's free will. And God operates on that throughout. God asks you to ask because he's given you free will. My daughter did drama at college over at Lincoln. And every morning she had to say in one of her group sessions, they started off the session by jumping around and that bit like that our youngsters do here. But they had to say, I'm wide awake, alert, enthusiastic. Yeah. And really God saying, ask in my name, is a bit like saying to us, you know, I want to see that you are enthusiastic about this. Yes. I want to see that you actually want to take the responsibility for this. Yes. Yes. You know, in Luke 18, we read about the blind man and Jesus. And the blind man's there and he's sat there and he's begging. That's the way he lives. He can't see. I'm pretty sure that it was totally obvious that he was blind. That he was a beggar. And he comes up to Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? What do you want me to do for you? Hang on a minute. I'm blind. Can't you see this? Can't you see? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus says. I like to refer to it as Jesus' Spice Girl moment. You know, what do you want? What do you really, really want? Because there's consequences. That blind man's living was begging. That's how he got his money. That's how he survived. Once he'd got his sight back, his whole life would change. His whole life would be different. Do you really, really want that? You know, we start by asking God through Christ into our lives, but it doesn't stop there. I think it was Jacqueline who was preaching earlier on in the year on Matthew 7 about asking and seeking and knocking. And the verb in the actual original is about keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Amen. I'm sure you've all had the experience of a Christmas present or a present at another time of year where a child has opened the present and then taken the gift out of the box and then played with the box for the rest of the day and the rest of the month. Yeah? It's almost like that with us if we stop at the space where we ask Christ into our lives. It's like us having an empty box. And that's the best it gets. So quite honestly, a lot of us actually treat that box almost like our old toy box and put our old toys back in it. And they actually go, oh, well, I've always been like that. Hang on, no, you haven't. The moment you ask Christ into your lives, you are a new creation. In Christ, you are new, you are alive, and you are different. And there's so much, much more that God wants to give us. Christ says, you'll do even greater things than these. Amazing. That's amazing. My fear is that as I get into God's presence, he'll take me through that storehouse of gifts that he's got for me to use on earth. And I'll look around and I'll say, wow. And I'll look and the first maybe shelf or two shelves will be empty. I'll say, well, why are they empty? Well, they're the ones you had. But there's shelves and shelves and shelves above it that have still got gifts on. I said, well, who are they for? Said, well, they were for you, but you never reached high enough for them. Yeah. You never had the faith to get them. Yeah. James 4, verse 2 says, you don't have because you don't ask. Now, James is addressing a church that's in a very unhealthy situation. There's quarrels and there's fighting amongst them. They're all there. Basically, it's a total sign that they're not mature in their Christian faith. And he says, ask. He says, you don't have because you don't ask. God says, ask. And Jesus says, ask in my name. You know, between John 14 and the end of John 16, there are five times where Jesus tells his disciples to ask for anything in his name. It's not a magic formula. I can't start to pray now and say, Lord, I please, as I go out into the car park over the road at the end of this morning service, instead of my on the Yaris there, please let there be a Porsche there. I ask it in Jesus' name. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen if I ask him for a Gulfstream jet either. Because it's not in his name. It's in my wish list. Although it's not really. I used to teach in secondary schools, and when I was teaching in London, one of the favourite questions that the teenage boys always used to ask me was, what car do you drive? And at the time I was driving a battered, well, it wasn't quite so battered, Nissan Micra. Lovely little car, the old box-shaped style one. It's still on the road. One of our friends' daughters is still driving it. And they'd say, oh, don't you want something like a Porsche or a Maserati? Or they'd drill a whole load of, or a BMW. And I used to say the same things. I said, why? I said, my Nissan Micra will do 7 miles an hour and above. As the average speed in London is 7 miles an hour, I'm not going to have any difference between whether I'm driving the Micra or a Porsche. What Jesus is saying is ask. Ask in submission to God. Ask in his name. It's not a magic formula. It's not asking for anything I want. It's asking for what is going to build the kingdom. It's a heaven building program. It's not an earth reward program. And I'm sorry, but I've seen so many times on so many different TV God Channel and TBN and that, where people almost seem to think it is about a reward program for earth. It's not. Get out of that. It's in my name. It's aligned with his will.
Amen.
It's in line with his will that tells me that the greatest command is to love God with all my might and love my neighbour as myself. I was talking to someone at a friend's funeral at the beginning of the year. And this gentleman had retired from a wonderful ministry. He did actually confirm that he said he'd retired. And at the beginning of his retirement, he said that he made it his purpose to make sure that every single day he was starting the day with a prayer that just simply said, "Show me what you want me to do today, Lord, and give me the resources to accomplish it." He said he went on a 2-month holiday. And he said he's never done so much Christian ministry in all his life as he did on that 2-month holiday. God answered his prayer. Because that's what he's promised to do. It's not about me. It's a lovely song. And I had a little difficulty getting it because, I don't know, can't they think of other names for songs other than the ones that are already there? I was looking up for Jesus, Lover of My Soul, and I got about 3 or 4 different versions, but the one I want has got this version. It says this: "It's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to all your ways." Surrender means change. And that's partly, I think, why God asks us to ask. Because he knows we've got to mean a change. You know, even in Matthew 14, where Peter ends up walking on the water, Peter says to Jesus, "Can I walk with you on the water?" And Jesus says, "Okay." And Peter's fine walking on the water until he actually doesn't lose sight. He stops looking at Jesus. You know, so much of what has happened over history is because we as individual little Christs and the church as a united Christ gets to the stage where we stop looking at Jesus and start looking at the institution. So often that is the case. You know, we talk about Jesus saying, "You'll do all that I do and more." You look at the number of ministries over the last 10, 15 years where God has honoured that, and as it started to happen, and there's been some tremendous blessing and some tremendous worship of God. And then almost man takes over and it becomes a TV programme and it becomes "Touch the screen and I'll set you free" and all of that. And God says, "Okay, I'm going elsewhere." If you think you can do it on your own, fine. I was saying to Liz and Mike before we came this morning, "How are you?" I said, "I'm very nervous. I'm always very nervous when I get up before and speak for God." Yeah. The moment I stop being nervous when I get up and speak for God is the moment I put the mic down. Yeah. Because it's no longer God, it's me. Yeah. And I don't want any part of that. Yeah. And Peter says, can I walk on the water? Can I do it? And Jesus says, "Yes, of course you can." But he still has to get out of the boat. It's a lovely book. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. It comes, as, of course, the blind man's healing comes at a cross. Are we ready for it? Are we prepared for it? I've got a couple of friends who have been miraculously healed. And if you think getting the correct benefits out of this country is hard to do, and it is, and they're making it harder week by week, it would appear, you try telling them that you've been miraculously healed once they've given you the benefits and try telling them you don't want it anymore. Both of them had massive problems, but God healed them. But both of the parts that they got to was that Spice Girl moment. What do you want? What do you really, really want? But James goes on after saying you don't want because you don't have because you don't ask. And says this, he says, when you ask, you don't receive. Because you ask with wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on pleasures. It's not about me. As if you should do things my way.
Yeah.
You alone are God. You alone are God. And Jesus sums it up well. He says, ask whatever you want in my name for God's glory. For God's glory. And this is where I sometimes get a little worried by those of us that know God's blessing and God's power of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we get away and we read that about, we can do whatever God Jesus did. Isn't it tremendous? I want to see. I get worried when I hear people saying to me, to be honest, I want to see miracles. I want to see legs being lengthened. I want to see blind seeing. I want to see the deaf hearing. I want to see the dead being raised. Well, yes, I do, but I only want to see it for one reason, and that's because I want to see the glory given to God.
Amen.
There was a lovely thing on my Facebook page the other day, and it said that, and I think it was someone from either here or Church Walsop that actually flagged it up. And it said something of the basis of that I want to be so full of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that if a mosquito bites me, he goes away praising God with the blood that's come out of me. That's what we should be looking to. We should be looking to grow as his disciples. We should be looking to see his kingdom come. It's not about there and finish. That's what we've been bad about. We've been totally bad in the past about actually discipling Christians. We really have. I grew up, as Mike said earlier on, about in a Baptist church, and I thank the Lord for that whole journey. It's a journey that involved the Scout movement as well, and the whole situation there, and it was wonderful. And the Bible knowledge that I got from that was wonderful. But it was some time, and they'd keep asking when you got into your teenage years, have you accepted Christ yet? Have you accepted Christ yet? And really, I didn't have any real understanding. It was good and it was solid, it was wonderful teaching, but it wasn't about a personal knowledge of Christ. And then a young man walked in, well, he was young then, he was a lot older than us, and he was living with a group of Christians that had come over on what is now called a gap year. In the early 90s, gap years were unheard of over here. He lived in a house with four other Christians. They'd all come over from America on a program from Campus Crusade for Christ. And they were working in the universities of London. And he came into our church because we had a scout movement. He wanted to work with senior scouts. He wanted to offer because he'd come up through the scouts. And he started about knowing God personally. And we were saying, what? Hey, how does this work? And he got us to the point, and then we accepted Christ into our lives. But idea that the Holy Spirit was anything other than just something that came in that made you a Christian, and that the powers and the gifts, the fruits of the Holy Spirit were there and acceptable to a degree, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit, well, that was something we didn't even look at. And it was some time later, and people were in one of the churches, it was actually a Church of England church that we were going to in the evenings. My daughter was working there as a youth worker. And they talked a couple of times about, and then one evening it said, if you like gift of tongues, then we'll just ask for it. It doesn't come automatically. God wants you to ask. And just as I was thrilled, and then, oh, it was so wonderful when I first became a Christian. I was more brave then than I am now. I ended up on Euston Station one night with another lad, and we were actually evangelising witnesses to soldiers that were going off to camp. Not sure whether I'd be brave enough necessarily to do that now, but it was lovely. And that experience I now have in my ties with God through being able to talk in his language, and it's wonderful that he is glorified, that God is glorified. Now, the message talks about John 13 that we've got on the board in these terms. It says, from now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. There's a lovely new translation that's come out in the last couple of years called the Passion Translation. It's wonderfully worded and brings, certainly I found it helping me get closer to God when I read it. It translates it this way: for I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask him. I'll do whatever you do in my name. You know, God's waiting for you this morning. He's waiting for you to ask him. He's waiting for you to ask him. It may be that you don't know that personal relationship with God this morning for yourselves. You know, it's wonderful standing here for the first time because I don't really know too many of you that well. So, it's lovely to be able to say, look, come. Ask Jesus to come and he'll come in. Ask God to forgive your sins. He's waiting with open arms to forgive them. Ask it, because it's for his glory and his honour. Submit yourselves to God. James 4 verse 7 says, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Isn't that what you want? Amen. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want? To know God's loving arms around you day by day. To know that he's there. To know that you can come before him. To know that you can ask him anything. And he's not going to say, oh, don't be so daft, Derek. Any fool can see. I know, I'm a special type of fool. I need it spelt out to me individually bit. He comes close. He wants to come close to you this morning. He wants us to grow. We're supposed to be growing more and more like Christ day by day. Bit, all right, we're to the end of February now, but it's still not too late. Think back a year. And honestly think to yourselves, are you closer to God today than you were this time last year? Have you grown in your Christian walk more this year than you had last year? If not, why not? Is it you're not asking? Is it that we've got so far and we think we've got to go for? Ask and you shall receive. Ask him as you get up in the morning like that. My friend says about, you know, God, show me. Ask him to show you what he wants you to do to build his kingdom up today, tomorrow. It's not a Sunday thing. Even for those that come twice on the Sunday, and I'd encourage you to. It's wonderful over at Worksop as well, you know. Really, we have a great time of worship. Ask him, and ask him for the resources to do it. Amen. It might be that that person that you've been standing by for weeks at the bus stop or by the school gate actually just needs a word of encouragement. And when you ask God to help you, God will tell you that word of knowledge that actually that can help that person. It might be that you need that help. And we're not very good at asking. It's often our last resort. Or is it just us men? Is it just us men that are doing a job and then just as we realise we need four hands instead of two, we shout, or I shout, anyway, Ruth, have you got a minute? And it's normally when she's just busy doing something herself. I'll be there in a moment. And then you get more and more frustrated because that moment isn't what you wanted. You want an instant answer. If we get used to asking God, we do it in the correct timing. Ask God, submit yourself to him. And remember, it's all about the kingdom. Jesus, when the disciples, and remember that the disciples were people that were used to praying regularly. They were God-fearing Jews. They would have prayed on a regular basis, but they saw something different in Jesus' prayer life that then he gave them the Lord's Prayer. And in that Lord's Prayer, he told them that part of the Lord's Prayer that we ought to be praying for is, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. That's what we're about. Amen. It's not about you and me and how wonderful we can be. It's not about how they're... It's about God's kingdom. And when other people in your workplaces, in your streets, around your school gates, see the difference Christ is making in your lives, they'll want to know more. Amen. Because they're facing exactly the same pressures that you're facing day by day. The difference is we've got the maker of the universe on our side and he'll help us through. We've just got to read the instruction manual, and that's something us men are not good at either. That's another day. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. It's for your glory and your praise. Amen. Now, I believe that God always answers prayer and always answers people that actually step out. Now, it might be something that you've got on your heart that you've been meaning to ask God about or give over to God for a while. It might be something you've put on your heart this morning, something that he's given through Mike and various things that God's given Mike in our prayer time earlier on. If that's you, don't leave it another minute. Amen. There'll be folk out front here that will be more than happy to pray with you and for you. But God is waiting with his arms wide open for you. Make the most of it today. Amen.